We welcome you back to the second lesson on faith works by love. We're reading Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, that is, for redemption. Neither one of them avails anything because it's not of works. He says, but faith which worketh by love. That is just a small little phrase, but it is a powerful revelation of that which most of the evangelical world have not a clue. We read you in John chapter 14, verses 22 and 23 of Judas's question and Christ saying he's going to manifest down through the ages himself to the people who have love infused into their heart. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not keep my commandments so you'll love me. It's not that love worketh by faith. I have faith and then I'll get to love God later. No, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart first, and then faith comes. That's what this is talking about. So we have been having the cart before the horse in the evangelical world. So we come to understand, dear soul, it says faith which worketh by love. We read you Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, where Jesus said these are the two great commandments on which the whole law hangs. That is, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans, chapter 13, verse number 9 and 10. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus is saying, if you have the love of God in your heart, you won't commit adultery, you won't kill, you won't steal, you won't bear false witness. And dear soul, that's what I'm telling you, that this so-called Christian America is not Christian because they're stealing and they're killing. You can't hardly get up a single week in your month without learning that somebody has taken a gun and going and shot down a bunch of totally innocent people as far as having done any wrong to the shooter. So we are not a Christian nation. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So faith worketh by love. Verse number 10, Romans 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said to the lawyer trying to trick him in Matthew 22. That's what Jesus said to Judas, not Iscariot, in John 14, verses 22 and 23. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. That's what the Scriptures teach us. So look at Jude, verse 20. The book of Jude, just before the book of the Revelation, Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. You are to build yourself up in faith by keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you say, I'm building myself up in the faith because I'm reading my Bible and studying the Scriptures and studying the commentary so that I can memorize the Bible in my head. Dear soul, listen, giving a mental assent to the gospel is not salvation. Being filled with the love of God in your soul, that's salvation, and it will reveal itself without fail. Every single time, in every single individual, by loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, having a benevolence in your heart towards all human beings, You can't hate and despise and be prejudiced against a different race or a different people if you're a Christian. You can't do it. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. There's certain things we have to do because we are American citizens. But there are different things and more glorious things that we have to do because we are God's. So we see that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what he said. Let's go back to 1 John while we're here in this part of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14. We know we have passed from death unto life because we joined the so-and-so church. No. You say, well, I know I'm a Christian because I've been involved with this particular denomination and this particular church, and I like it, and I love it, and we get along good, and it's a lot of fun. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love, not because we are a member, not because we gave mental assent to the Apostles' Creed, not because we gave mental assent to a formula of the gospel, but because we love. Dear soul, if you don't have a love of God in your heart towards God and towards all men, you're not a Christian. That's what God said. So, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in language, in tongue, but love in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Some of you have been struggling hard with assurance. Here he says, if you have love in its actuality, not just in statement, but in deed and in truth, you can prove to yourself that before I was born again, I didn't care about anybody. But now I can't bring myself to harm anyone, but not only not to harm them, but also to help them if I see them in need. I didn't have that kind of benevolence, that kind of love in my heart before. I might have been a church member before, but I wasn't saved because I didn't have this kind of love in my heart. That's what John says. Look at chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 7. Excuse me. Beloved, this is 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I told you this didn't come from Adam. You didn't get this from your mom and daddy. The way people learn prejudice and learn to hate other groups and other races is their parents teach them. They grow up in this society, and you hear all your uncles and your cousins and your mom and daddy and your brother and sister putting down these other people. And here we go with us and them. Next thing you know, everybody's buying guns, and you got this little encampment out in the woods. You got your flag up. Anybody that don't talk like you do or don't own a gun like you do or don't wave your flag, you want to kill them. How is that being a Christian? This is not a Christian nation. We don't have the love of God in our heart. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I'm reading 1 John 4, 7. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Did you hear that? Everyone that loveth is born. This came from the new birth, not from the natural birth. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, For God is love. If you have a love of God for others and for God, it's because God is in your heart doing it through you. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's the expression of the greatest love there is. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice. That's what the words the propitiation means. And sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now listen to verse 12. 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. The Spirit of God is God the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the same as very God and very man. Excuse me. I'm so used to saying that, I said it wrongfully at that time. The Spirit of God is very God, as same as the Father and the Son. So, having the Spirit of God in you is having God in you. And God's going to act like Himself in your breast or my breast. Wherever He is manifest, He's always like Himself. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, if you go down to the Atlantic Ocean and take a glass and dip out a glass full of the Atlantic Ocean, you can say that you've got the same exact water in that glass as in that ocean. And the Holy Spirit in you, in your little glass, is going to act like Himself wherever He manifests Himself. So He is love. And therefore, without any doubt, can't fail, will never miss, will always be, there will be the love of God for human beings and the love of God for God. It can't be any other way. That's the way that it is. In Galatians 5 and verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The attitude in America is, you shoot my dog, I'll kill your cat. You know, well, you come 1 inch over here on my property, and I'm going to call the law on you, and we're going to get lawyers and go to court. God said, if they take an inch, give them a mile. If they take your coat, you say, hey, this overcoat's a match set with it. Here, take this cloak with it. It's better to give that stuff up than to begrudge somebody and prove to the world and to God and to yourself that you don't have the love of God in your heart, that you love that inch of property and that coat more than you love that neighbor. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. Really? What did Christ hold back in order to save sinners? Nothing. You're all too willing for Jesus to be naked on a Roman cross and be jabbed with a Roman spear and give up everything He had in glory and make Himself of no reputation so that your wretched hide won't have to go to hell, but you won't give an inch for your neighbor. How in the world do you say you're a Christian? You're not. The Bible says you're not. God says you're not. So we see that in John 5:14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now, Galatians chapter 6 and 1 and verse number 2. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we are under a law, but it's the law of liberty. It's the law of love. It's the law of Christ. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me ask you this. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Most of us have just quoted it. Do you realize what you said in that prayer that you quoted? Do you realize that you have bound yourself by the obligation of that prayer? And forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses, only as we forgive those who trespass against us. What? You didn't realize you said that, did you? You're saying, God, don't ever, ever treat me any different than the way I treat other people. God said, okay, with what measure you measure out to them, that's the yardstick I'm going to measure back on you. If you're mean to your neighbor, I'm going to be mean to you. If you're kind and gracious to others, I'm going to be kind and gracious to you. You are determining even now how you will be judged in eternity. Forgive us our debts. How? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Uh-oh. We're in trouble in America. We're in trouble in the church. We're in trouble in the churches because we say and do not. We don't have the love of God in our heart. It's evident. How in the world can you have people hating one another, doing everything we can to obstruct everybody else, making sure that we get the gravy and they don't get anything? We're in a mess. Our congressmen, our senators, listen, our politicians, mean-spirited, hateful, doing everything we can to steal everything we can away from everybody else just so that our little bunch will have. That's not Christianity. We're so far away from being saved and being born again, it's not even funny. But the thing that's bad about it, it's worse about it, they don't know it. They're so deceived, they don't know that they're deceived. My, so what a mess we're in. In 1 John, while we're here, chapter 2, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, I know God. They get out there and wave their Bible in the air and say, see, I'm a Christian, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't care if you get on TV and wave a Bible in the air and say, I'm a Christian. You're a liar. Brother Gene, you ought not say that. I'm telling you what God said. He's a liar. They're a liar. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, completed, and is reaching maturity. Hereby know we that we are in him. Dear soul, that love of God is being perfected. If you keep his word, if you by faith keep the word, then you understand that faith works by love. And that love is being perfected as you continuously obey God. Dear soul, as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, and as you come to see that just because they don't look like me, they don't act like me, they don't eat like me, they don't live where I live, it doesn't mean that they're not to be respected. The one thing that's bothering the Christian, so-called Christian, let's say the religious community today, is they don't understand what Jesus meant when he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Okay. Somebody is very much different than what you are. You don't like them. You wasn't raised up around them. You don't want them in your community. But the things that are seasoned, the Christians don't understand. They have a responsibility as an American citizen to Christ as much as they have a responsibility as a Christian to Christ. You should render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Well, what are Caesar's? We hold these truths to be self-evident. What does that mean? It's obvious. These truths are obvious. They're self-evident. That all men are created equal. What? No, they're not. We don't want them in our school. We don't want them in our neighborhood. There's the difference in the Christian's life as showing respect as an American citizen to all other American citizens, no matter what they're like. It's not saying that I or you as a Christian go along with them. It's saying that I am to show them the respect of being an American citizen. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they come from. I don't care how long their people have been here in this nation. And dear soul, all of us are immigrants. So everybody that has American citizenship ought to be respected and given their rights, period. That's just rendering unto Caesar. But it doesn't mean that if they are vile offenders of the love of God and the laws of God, that I have to go along with their ungodliness. If a man is on the job, no matter whether he is of the religious affiliation you are, or no matter what his idea and concept is of God or life or whatever, he deserves the respect of having a parking spot in the parking lot just like you do. He deserves to have a payday and a paycheck if he's doing his job just like you do. You are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The things that belong into the natural realm, you need to do that. It doesn't mean that, well, say he just got out of jail and was just paroled for manslaughter. Boy, and we'll nothing to do with him. And sure enough, the boss will put him right there on and ask you to teach him the job. You're going to have to render unto Caesar and show that man respect and make sure that he is taught like the boss told you to teach him. But it doesn't mean that you have to enter into his mindset of slaughtering a human being. So as a Christian rendering unto God the things that are God, I don't want to be involved in that kind of mindset. But as an American citizen rendered unto Caesar, I got to show him the respect. Well, this is your locker where you hang your clothes, and there's the cafeteria, and what time we go, and I'll show you how to go through the line and get you a cup of coffee or whatever. We're not a Christian nation. We don't have any respect for human beings if they're not exactly like us. Only the true Christian can render unto Caesar and unto God in an acceptable way. Now, if that man wants to hear the word of God and he says, I've seen some things in you and I've heard some things that you've said, I'd like to come to where you go to church. What are you going to do? You invite him to church and, you know, meet him out there in the front and walk him in and say, here's where we sit. You're welcome to sit with us. Everybody is welcome to hear the gospel. Now, whether he obeys it or not, or whether the love of God is shed abroad in his heart or not, that's between him and God. And if he doesn't want the gospel and he walks away, you are quit of it. You are finished with it. You've done what you're supposed to do. But Monday morning, there he sits right there on that bench next to yours. Render unto Caesar. You still got to show him respect. That's where America is failing. One of the main things is we call ourselves a Christian nation, but we do not want to be bound by or ruled over by the love of God towards others. Therefore, we are not a Christian nation. If a man does not love his neighbor, the love of God's not in him. That's what the book said. Faith works by love. You say, well, I have faith. Well, it's not evident because you don't manifest any love for anybody. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7, we've already read that. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, here is something that we need to make sure we understand. In this same chapter, 1 John chapter 2, we read verses, I was reading verse chapter 4. Let's go back to chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Love not the world. Here we go. You've got to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit in this thing of love. For love is not merely an emotion. I'm not saying it can't be emotional, but I'm saying it is not primarily an emotion. It is a spirit. God is love and God is a spirit. So he's saying the Spirit of God will not cause you to love the world. Love not the world. 1 John 2:15. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that right there will make you understand that the majority of people that you see on television and see in life, see on the news, they don't know God from third base. Why? Because they want more, 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 more. They want the things of the world. They want what money can buy. And the Bible said the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Love not the world. For all that, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can count on that. If he is all about money, if she is all about money, they don't know God. They're not a Christian. Go back to John, the book of John, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17, and verse number 9. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, talking to God the Father. John 17:9. I pray for them, for my disciples that you've given me. I pray not for the world. So if you find somebody that's loving the world and loving the things of the world and just, you know, they just can't get enough. They just so covetous over everything. They see something somebody else has got, they got to have it. Then you're looking at one who is not a Christian. I don't care if he's a preacher. I don't care if he's a deacon. I don't care if he's a pope himself. Dear soul, if they're sitting on the bench next to you in your church, they don't know God from third base. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. He that hath the love of God of the world in him hath not the love of the Father in him. That's the Bible. That's what God said. Now, if you love the world, according to John 17:9, you are loving that for which Jesus will not pray. John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. If you are involved with the world and you are loving the world and you're loving the things of the world, yes, you got to have the very essentials and the necessities of life. I understand that. But ambition is the cancer of Christianity. Think about that. And if you love the world, you are getting into an area and an arena for which Christ will not mediate. You got into it, deal with it yourself. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to pray the Father and ask him to help you. There will be no mediation from Christ for those that love the world. Hence, America is Christless. Because we want more, 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 more. And on every level, it doesn't matter where it is, everybody is greedy over more stuff. And God said, beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. How in the world can being covetous be idolatry? Covetous means I want what you got. Don't covet your neighbors, this, that, and the other. So if you're desirous of what that man's got, then God is saying you're guilty of idolatry. How is that? Because you're saying to God, you ain't fair. I should have what he has. I should have what she has. And Lord, you are not the true God. So you're building an image of that which you say ought to be the way you are ruled. And that is idolatry. You just made yourself and your covetous desires your idol. We're in dangerous situations, folks. You say, I never heard this. It makes you mad that I'm saying it, doesn't it? It aggravates you, doesn't it? Why? Because we haven't heard it before and because we're too much involved in it. But I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to be faithful, first of all, to God, and I'm trying to be faithful, second of all, to the Scriptures, and I'm trying to be faithful, third of all, to you. Faith worketh by love. It's not that love devolves from faith. It's that faith devolves from love. And if you don't have the love of God in your heart and the love of others in your heart, how do you say you have faith? Jesus said that these two commandments, on them hang all the law and the prophets. And every little old group has got their little old petty, you know, pet law. Got to do this. Can't do that. Got to do the other. Dear soul, that's not how it works. The love of God in your heart. Love your God supremely with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And then that will... that will evolve into loving your neighbor as yourself. And we read you how that loving your neighbor as yourself fulfills the whole law. Jesus said, on these two hang all the law of the prophets. But America's Christianity don't know anything about love. They just love their rules and regulations. Well, you got to wear clothes like this. Got to wear your collar around back. You got to wear a fish hook in your lapel. You got to have your hair cut like this. Can't wear short dresses. You got to do this, that, and the other. What? This old, listen, if everybody had the love of God in their heart, you wouldn't need law one, because love is the fulfilling of the law. You have the law. You have the lawyer. You have the courthouse within you. And you don't want to do anything apart from the person of God and his Spirit. Now, 1 John chapter 3. You really need to study the book of 1 John. Do you remember who Jesus, who they said John was? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Right? Yep. So he writes about love. And a lot of us don't understand the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is because we've been brought up saying love worketh by faith and not faith worketh by love. That we're supposed to have faith in God and faith in the rules and regulations first, and then love will come later. No. You're not ever going to be able to obey any rule unless you have the love of God in your heart primarily. 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this, now listen, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. 1 John 3:10. Here is how God's young'uns and the devil's young'uns are made known. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You say, wait a minute. That one verse is going to tell us the difference between those people who are the children of the devil, even though they live next door to me or live in my neighborhood or they dress nice and, you know, they belong to our church. How do you know whether they're children of the devil or children of God or not? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. He's not of God. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. You see, Jesus said there's going to come a time when these religionists will kill you and think that they do God a service. Why? I'm astounded that there's these people over in the East that say they're just dedicated to, you know, Mohammed or Allah or whoever it is, but they love to kill unbelievers. Murder. I don't understand how murder can be in the heart of somebody who says, I'm dedicated to religion. Because it's not God's religion and it's not true religion. It's not God in their heart. It's hatred that is amplified by false religion. And folks, that's one of the most dangerous things there is people who think they've got enough of God in their heart to let go their meanness, their hatefulness, and their ungodliness to the point of killing you and say, good, I did God a service. Listen, not as Cain who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. A righteous man will aggravate people who are just, they just lip Christians. They're not heart Christians. They don't like it. It shows them up. It makes them look bad. So what do they want to do? Put the light out. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They've got evil deeds, and they're guilty. They won't want anybody showing what they are. Listen, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Now, that doesn't mean to become a martyr and to be nailed to a cross or be shot, you know, before a firing squad. It means be inconvenienced in what you were wanting to do, maybe in that particular day, because your neighbor had a need and you had to spend the day taking care and watching after him and helping him. He says we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Truth, if I didn't say that. Verse 23, 1 John 3:23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that dwelleth, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That's the way that it is. That's how that it is. 2 John chapter 1. The book of 2 John chapter 1. Verse 1. The elder, John the elder, the apostle, unto the elect lady and her children, or on children, to the church, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, church, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. God's true apostles, God's true ministers have nothing new to say. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it was never new. Listen. Not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye shall walk in it. It's not changed. God's not changed. God is love. I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I abide forever. He's the changeless one. Therefore, the command from God is unchangeable. That is, that we have the love of God come into our hearts that sparks faith. Faith which works by love. God put his love within us. God put himself within us. It's God's self, God's love in us. And therefore, it is changeless. We have no new commandment. We don't need a new revelation. We need to obey the one we have, and that is that we love one another even as God hath loved us. Isn't God good? Let's finish out Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, not 5, but 15. Galatians 6, 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You say, well, I don't do this, so you're wanting to be accepted by what you do and don't do. That's not acceptable to God. It's being born again, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You must be born again. Now listen. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy be on them, and upon the Israel of God. We are brainwashed into thinking that the nation of Israel that you can find on your map are the Lord's chosen people. That's not true anymore. The Israel of God are those who exclusively have the love of God in their hearts to love God with all their heart and love their neighbor as their self. I'll tell you what you do. You as a Gentile, try to go over there and live in the nation of Israel. You're going to have problems. You're going to find out that it ain't just lovey-dovey and them ain't the disciples of Jesus like you thought they might be. Oh, you might be able to go to the Mount of Olives or try to find the Calvary or whatever, historical, you know, journeys, and find the house that Peter used to live in or whatever. But dear soul, you're not going to find God except in the Israel of God. Who are the Israel of God? They are those who are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Who are those that are new creatures? Those that are not dependent on circumcision or not having circumcision, not depending on the law, the do's and don'ts, but depending upon the love of God within their soul. That if we have the love of God in our hearts, we are Christ's and we are the Israel of God. John 13. The book of John. Chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now listen. This ain't little, you know, robe-wearing, sandal-wearing little hippie groupie, little rabbi talking to you. This is God Almighty. This is God the Son. This is the one who shall judge all of us. We have one that judges us, and that is the word that I have spoken, he said. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. God tells us that he's going to judge us by the word that he has delivered unto us. I was trying to find that right quick. I'm not going to spend time looking for it. Okay, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You say, well, how can I do that? I can't love like Jesus loved unless the Spirit of Jesus is in me, loving people through me. I have tried to pastor this church ever since its conception in 1975. And one of the things that I have tried to tell them is, people, I want to be honest with you, speaking of myself, my old wretched, born of woman self, I don't love you. And that shocked them. But you see, I do love them. But what I'm trying to say is, the love that I have for you is the love of God coming through me to love you on his behalf. The life that I now live, I live by the Son of God, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. And God has to do the loving. And therefore, the love that I have for the church is Christ's love loving through me. And that's what he's saying. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. It's been a great pleasure in my soul to have different people over the years come to this church at different times and say, you know, when they leave, the one thing that I rejoice in is the love that I felt when I came among you. And that's great, because that says that these people are Christians. They're acting like Christians. They're acting Christ-like because it's Christ that is acting in them. Let's finish up. 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The darkness of the old economy of the law is gone. The light of the glory of God is now come. Jesus is the light of the world and the light of life. Now this love is here for us. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You need to read 1 John. It will help you prove and understand and conceive that you are of God. 1 John 3:23, and we'll finish. This is the commandment, that ye should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So there is faith and love within the same verse. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Faith. Love one another. That faith worketh by love. God in your heart, loving through you. And that 1 John 3:1 verse that we've already read, we want to leave that with you. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. There's a great manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon every one of us that are born again Christians. And that's why we have faith in God. Because faith worketh by love. God shed abroad his love in our hearts. That's what gave us faith, and that's what fulfills all the commandments, is the love of God in our soul. Thank you for your attention today. I appreciate so much you adhering to these messages, and I thank you for praying for me, and I want you to understand and know that we pray for you as well. May the Lord bless you.